The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, the 18th chapter, especially these verses. And Peter came up and said to him, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Sunday, we focused in on our need to call sinners to turn and live. Today, we're blessed to turn our focus to what happens when those sinners actually do turn. We focus in on God's call to us to forgive freely those who have repented of their sins. I guess it didn't surprise me a lot that when I read the story this week, we find Peter right after God has explained to him how he is supposed to call all of these sinners to turn and to live, that his first question is, how many times? A typical kind of human response. After all, when it comes to anything in the world, humans like to keep records. And we like to do that particularly, it seems, when it comes to sin. And so it seems that Peter asked Jesus, so to speak, "How many times do you want me to call this guy who sins against me to turn back? And especially, how many times do you actually want me to forgive him?" You see, Peter thought he was doing pretty good. He thought, oh, of course, right, one should forgive someone the first time they have an offense against you. He was even willing to give them a second chance. Actually, Peter was actually willing to give them 7 chances. He sort of must have said that to Jesus, thinking that Jesus would be impressed with how many times he would forgive the same sin. So he seems to ask Jesus, "Is 7 times enough, Jesus?" Jesus replies, "Try 70 times 7. And trust me, Jesus' point was not to get out a bigger record book and start counting to 490. No, instead the point was to throw out the record book altogether. Stop counting your brother's sins and just forgive. Yes, as many times as a sinner turns, forgive him freely and without condition. Why? Well, to answer that question of why Jesus did as he often did, he told a story. The story went this way. A king called in all of his people that owed him money. And as he was calling them in to settle up their accounts, there was one man who owed him a debt that was so large that there was no chance that he could ever repay the debt. King ordered then that that man should be sold. He and his whole family and everything he had, even his own freedom. The king thought that at least that would begin to make repayment for all that this man owed. When this sentence was ushered out, that man turned to the king and fell on his knees and said, "Please, king, give me just a little more time and I'll repay it all." Unlike most kings, this king shockingly responded with mercy instead of wrath. This king did not give the man more time to pay. He simply threw away the record that the debt ever existed in the first place. How amazing. How gracious. Jesus' story, of course, was not over. You see, that same man who had just been forgiven of this great debt went out and saw a man who owed him some money. Now, this amount was not an insignificant amount of money. It was likely about 3 months of wages. But it was something that perhaps could be repaid. This man went out and demanded that 3 months' wages back from the other man. And just like he had done before, the man that stood before before him fell to his knees and said, "Please, give me just a little more time and I will pay you back." But that same man who had just been forgiven that huge debt that he could never repay did not release that man who owed him comparatively very little from his debt. No, he had him put in jail until he could pay every last cent. Those around that man, having seen what he did, could not believe it. And so they went and they traveled back to the king and told him everything that had happened. That king called the man that he had forgiven back into his presence. Only this time he was not there to offer him mercy, but rather to revoke his mercy, to throw him in jail, to make him pay every last cent, since that's what he demanded of others. Jesus finished telling the parable and then made his point almost uncomfortably clear. He said, "If you do not forgive your brother from your heart, the same will be done to you." As Jesus assures us that if we do not forgive from our heart, God will on that last day require that we pay back every penny we owe him. And we should well know we can never repay that debt. Yes, this parable indeed pushes home the fact for us that when our brother sins against us and then repents, we are to forgive our brother or our sister every time, regardless of whether it's their first offense against us or their 501st offense of the same kind. Actually, of course, Jesus' point is not which offense is it. He doesn't want us to keep counting anymore at all. So, does the parable make its way into our lives? Are we those people who truly forgive that freely? Why should we? Well, because the parable reminds us that we are the man that has been forgiven much, and very freely forgiven at that. And therefore, we, of course, should go out and forgive those people that have smaller debts against us. For we are people that should know how good it feels to have a debt removed, that we would want to share that with anyone that we have the chance with. No doubt the logic of the parable is sound. If you and I saw this story play out in real life, we would be those servants running back to tell the king. We understand that it's very wrong for someone who had been forgiven such a great debt to then go out and not do the same with someone else. But why is it when we understand the logic to be true that this kind of forgiveness does not always get played out in our lives? I have a feeling that at times when we buy the logic of the parable, that if a man is forgiven this much, he should certainly forgive this much. But sometimes we don't believe the premise that's been given. We don't believe we're really that man or that woman that's been forgiven this much. Do you believe that you have been forgiven $1 million debt? Of course, you and I want to say yes right away, because we know that's the right answer. I have a feeling, especially sometimes, for those of us that grew up in the church, and those of us that avoided throughout our life what others thought of as the most gravest of sins, sometimes I'm not sure we really believe what our mouths confess. Even those of us that have done things that we thought we never would do, things that we are ashamed of, I'm still not sure we always mean what we say. We say, "poor, miserable sinner." We just say, "chief of sinners." But do we really believe those things about ourselves? Or are we just saying them because it's what we're told to say? You see, when we consider our sins, we very often decide to compare our sins to someone else who, quite frankly, has more, especially more public and big sins in their lives. And so while we'll readily admit that we're not perfect and that we make mistakes, I'm not sure that we're often ready to admit that we are the man of the parable, the man that has this huge debt racked up against God himself. Hard to believe at times that we're really that bad. And one lifelong Lutheran told me once, they just didn't like the song Amazing Grace. And when I asked them why they didn't like the song Amazing Grace, it was a lady who told me that she simply could not bring herself to sing about herself as a wretch who had been saved. How many of us, at some times at least, feel that same way? We feel that we're not perfect, but we're also not ready to call ourselves something like a wretch. Today we must ask, how is it that you and I are to go about understanding that indeed we truly are the man in the parable, that we are the one with the debt that could never be paid towards God? Well, first, I think we must examine our lives as honestly as we can. We must take seriously that we are born in sin, that we are born enemies of God, and that we must allow the Word to search our lives now freely as well. We allow that Word to remind us that our sins are not just the things we do, but the things that we do not do. They're not just the things we say, but the things that we do not say. We are being to be reminded that they are even those things that we feel good about because they only entered our thoughts and never left our mouths. We are to be reminded that every sin we have in our life separates us from a holy God in a near irreparable way. We are reminded that every day there are a multitude of sins in our lives that you and I never even stop to ponder. But I suppose if we truly want to understand the debt that we owe, we must look to two places. First, we must look to the Holy Scriptures and what they testify about the debt that we owe. For even if on a particular day we don't feel weighted down with our sins, the Scriptures will reveal to us the truth of the situation. They will reveal to us that our debt to God is grave indeed. From the first pages of Scriptures, from that story that we told today to the children, we see how humanity has destroyed God's perfect creation. And then we notice as we go on throughout the time and history given to us in the Bible and right into our own lives, we see how often humanity falls short of the glory of God. Yes, Scriptures are clear that the debt that each of us as a human owes to God is that unpayable debt. It's huge. And we are called to trust what the Scriptures say about us, even in those times when we don't feel it in our hearts. Martin Luther used to instruct people that if they were preparing for the Lord's Supper and did not feel like they needed it, then they should trust squarely in what the Scriptures said about how desperately they did need it. We are called to do the same, to trust what the Scriptures say about the debt that we owe, even when we can't come up with a count that seems to make the debt that big. And secondly, if we want to understand the weight of our sins, we must look to the cross. Many churches today celebrate today as Holy Cross Sunday, to remind us that us as Christians, we are focused squarely our entire lives around what happened at the cross. And as we look today at the cross in this light, to try to figure out how big our debt is with God, we must understand that if our debt is really not all that big, then Jesus suffered way too much. Indeed, every mocking word he endured, every lash that found his back, every labored breath that he took, would be way too much if our sin is not so great. No, indeed, we know that each of those things that Jesus endured proves to us the debt that was owed to God by each of us. It proves that the debt that was owed was our life for eternity. eternity. Yes, it indeed was a life debt that we owed. Thanks be to God that because of that same cross in which our life is centered, we also know that we have been forgiven. We understand that the record of our sins, as big as they were, has been thrown out. In fact, the book of Colossians says that that record of your sins and mine, that long list was taken and was nailed to the cross with Jesus, so that it could no longer accuse us. Yes, that is why we find our King so forgiving when we stand before Him, because the debt has already been paid. And therefore, He can simply throw out the record of our sins as if they never happened at all. And when we leave our King's presence, then, we are called to do as our King has done to us. We humans like to keep records, especially when it comes to sin. We like to always have that list that we can bring back up against somebody if we really get into a doozy of a fight. But we are called instead to give up those lists, to throw away those records, to forgive as we have been forgiven, often, freely, and with much rejoicing. For if we do not, the parable's point is clear. If we do not share the forgiveness that we have been given with others freely, God says that on the last day He will call us back into His presence, and He will demand from us every penny that we owe Him. God forbid that we would face such a King. Instead, we are blessed to face that King that we know, that King that forgives us freely, that tells us our sins are gone. And we are free then to go out and to forgive just as freely, so that that King sees His forgiveness not only given to us, but spread throughout the world. The good news today is this: God no longer holds a record of your sin. Your unpayable debt, it's gone. Please, don't try to force others to repay those smaller debts they owe to you. When they ask for your mercy, forgive them freely. Throw away the record of their sin, and you both will live. Amen.